TSA succumbs to public outcry. No knives on planes. It's the EAA versus the FAA, round two. And Solar Impulse goes inflatable. This is Aero News for Thursday, June 6, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. First, my apologies for absence over the past couple of days, but, well, I was just a bit under the weather. Now, let's get on to the news. Following months of outrage from nearly every corner of the aviation community, the Transportation Safety Administration has abandoned their proposed policy to allow small knives into the passenger cabins of planes. TSA head John Pistol announced the decision yesterday, just hours before a vote in Congress on an amendment to block the policy. Congressional opposition to the policy was led by Representatives Ed Markey, Democrat of Massachusetts, and Michael Grimm, Republican of New York, in the House, and Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York, in the Senate. 2 weeks ago, Markey and Grimm, along with more than 140 of their colleagues, sent a letter to Pistol asking him to keep the current rules in place that prohibit knives and other potential weapons from being brought into the plane passenger cabins. The policy was eventually opposed by the major unions representing pilots, flight attendants, TSA's own screeners, law enforcement agents, and by many of the major airlines. The issue over the FAA's plan to charge the EAA for controller service at AirVenture has now reached Capitol Hill. Senators Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson have been working on marshaling support in the Senate for a letter being prepared for delivery to FAA Administrator Michael Huerta, urging his reconsideration. The effort came after a conversation with EAA Chairman Jack Pelton, who, according to the Green Bay Press Gazette, has said asking for payment in advance for air traffic control services for the show is like holding EAA hostage. If the organization does not pay up, the FAA says they will not send air traffic controllers to staff what is, for 1 week, the world's busiest control tower. Noting that General Aviation already pays its share of FAA air traffic services through an aviation fuel excise tax, the letter says in part, quote, "This shift in policy by the FAA to charge fees for an air traffic service is tantamount to an imposition of a new user fee on general aviation. Congress has previously made clear its opposition to new user fees. For the FAA to demand additional payments for items that have been budgeted for in previous years is completely unacceptable," end quote. EAA Chairman Jack Pelton has said that AirVenture will go on as scheduled this year, even if they have to sign the FAA's contract for services and pay the fee. But he told the paper, it has not been so much like a negotiation with the federal government as a demand for payment. EAA spokesman Dick Nepinski said that the organization is concerned about how smaller air shows might be affected by similar demands. As of our production deadline, 27 Senate colleagues have indicated their support for the letter. You know, they say when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Well, the Solar Impulse team had the opportunity to do just that this week by deploying an inflatable hangar after severe storms damaged a hangar reserved for them at Lambert St. Louis International Airport. The revolutionary structure was conceived and designed by Solar Impulse for the Around the World mission in 2015, but it will now provide a shelter while the historic aircraft sits at the midway point of its Trans-USA flight. Andre Borschberg, co-founder, CEO, and pilot of Solar Impulse, explained, saying, quote, "We brought the inflatable hangar to the USA for testing purposes, and in fact, it allowed the mission to stay on schedule. This exercise is now a proof of concept. Rather than taking the airplane to a hangar, we have taken the hangar to the airplane," end quote. Having departed Dallas-Fort Worth on Monday, June 3rd, Solar Impulse landed at Lambert St. Louis International Airport on Tuesday, June 4th. The completion of this third leg of the 2013 Across America mission was Bertrand Piccard's longest flight in the single-seat cockpit, lasting some 21 hours and 21 minutes. The choice of St. Louis as the Solar Impulse Midwest stop was no coincidence. The city has played a significant role in the history of U.S. aviation, dating back to the days when Charles Lindbergh was a chief pilot for the Chicago to St. Louis U.S. mail route. The city's business leaders, including the namesake of Lambert St. Louis International, Albert Bond Lambert, supported Lindbergh in his bid to make the first transatlantic flight between New York and Paris in 1927 in the spirit of St. Louis. The U.S. State Department has canceled an RFP it had posted for a contract to produce UAVs for domestic surveillance. In 2011, the DOS had posted the request for proposals for the aircraft to provide real-time air surveillance of fixed installations, proposed movement routes and movement operations, and special events, thereby improving security in high-threat or potentially high-threat environments. In a cancellation notice posted Friday on the Federal Opportunities website, the State Department said that it had concluded its evaluation from companies that had submitted proposals and found that, quote, none of the offers met the minimum requirements of the Phase 2 UAV demonstration evaluation, and therefore the DOS is hereby canceling the subject RFP for UAV support services, end quote. The notice said that in the coming weeks, the government plans to closely examine the requirements stipulated in the solicitation with the intent of developing and releasing a new RFP for UAV support services. Isn't it nice to know in advance that Big Brother plans on domestic surveillance? When Aero News continues, on a wing of prayer and crowdfunding, military performance with civilian luxury, and Johnny, We Hardly Knew Ye.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, June 6th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Apparently, a lot of people would like to see an abandoned B-25J fly again. The crowdfunding effort to raise money for the salvage of the B-25J Mitchell airplane that went down on a firefighting mission in 1969 has surpassed its $20,000 initial target, giving the entrepreneurs hoping to restore the airplane a boost toward their goal. Retired from the Air Force, the plane went down on a sandbar along the Tanana River near Fairbanks, Alaska, during a civilian fire suppression mission in 1969. After salvaging what they could from the airplane, it was abandoned on the sandbar. Scavengers have removed pieces through the years from the airplane, but entrepreneurs Patrick Mihalik and Todd Trainer hope to salvage the remains and make the plane flyable again. Mihalik and Trainer established a presence on the crowdfunding site Kickstarter and set a goal of $20,000 for the initial effort. That goal was surpassed last Saturday. Emerging luxury jet aircraft manufacturer Saker Aircraft Corporation has opened its order book for what it says is the aviation industry's most advanced personal jet, the Saker S1. According to a company press release, the Saker S1 would be a Mach 0.99 two-seat personal jet for, quote, luxury aviators and the business elite who demand high-octane performance for their personal transportation. Utilizing the latest and most efficient engine technology available, the cost of ownership and operation for the Saker S1 is set to outperform every jet in its class, end quote. Saker said the S1 would shave an entire hour from a 1,500 nautical mile trip when compared to its closest competitor. It is projected by the company to deliver the lowest cost per nautical mile when compared to any aircraft in its category. John E. Holden had been a Marine Corsair fighter pilot during World War II. He survived the war and the many years that followed before passing away last week at the age of 93. Holden fell from a window at a retirement community in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. In the obituary, which he wrote himself, according to the Lancaster Intelligencer Journal, Holden's sense of humor was definitely in evidence. The former fighter pilot described a life, quote, filled with endless laughter and debauchery, end quote. He mentions receiving the Distinguished Flying Cross and an Air Medal for actions in Okinawa in 1945, but also said there was a, quote, Distinguished Fleeing Cross for avoiding numerous women who were seeking child support under unproven circumstances, end quote. Holden had been married for 61 years to Elaine Ewing Holden, who preceded him in death by 10 years. He wrote in his obituary he had recently, quote, had a number of other wives, none of which were his, end quote. He is survived by 3 children, who he says survived, again quoting, despite being related to their father, end quote. And the last words on the obituary were, quote, I'm really going to miss myself, end quote. Johnny, I suspect we're going to miss you too. And speaking of World War II veterans passing, I hope you'll take a moment today to remember those who fell on this, the longest day, on the beaches of Normandy 69 years ago. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.